Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This is a prayer from Prahlad Maharaj's Prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Verse Number 28. Evam janam nipatitam pabhavahi kupe kama bikama manuyat prapatan prasangat kritvat masat sudarshina bhagavan grihitaha soham patam nuvisuje tava britya sevam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Purport. As will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant Narada Muni. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnava. Narottama Das Thakur says, Tandera Chorono Shevi Bhakta Shonibhaj Janame Janame hoy e obilash. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayur Dasa Das Anudasaha. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First, one should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master. And when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore he said, Soham katam nu visrijay tava brityase vab.
How can I give up the service of my spiritual master, who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni.
Prabhupada is enlightening us about the importance of staying in the service of one spiritual master. First of all, we are so specially fortunate to be allowed to be in the service of such a rare soul as Srila Prabhupada. There are so many other people in this world, sincere people, people who want to be Krishna's devotees, who don't have the opportunity that we have, who don't have the enlightenment, special enlightenment, that Prabhupada has given us. Here we are in Krishna's most favorite abode, Govardhan, where so many people, not everybody, but so many people are chanting Krishna's names and thinking of Krishna, glorifying Krishna in different ways, marching around Govardhan Hill for the pleasure of Krishna. But most of these people don't have proper spiritual guidance. They're trying to be servants of Krishna, but they're doing it in ignorance, covered by ignorance. Good sentiments, some devotional feeling, but not much understanding. Not much understanding of who Krishna really is and what our real duty toward him is in this world. Krishna doesn't want a superficial show of devotion or some momentary enthusiasm. He's not satisfied with that. He wants everything. For us to be fit to re-enter his service, we have to surrender everything, give up everything material, and give our entire existence to the service of the Lord. That is only possible by the mercy of the Vaishnava. In our line, the spiritual master is of essential importance, service to the spiritual master. It's not possible properly to enter the service of Krishna, even as a neophyte. I'm not just speaking about Swarup Siddhi. It's not even possible to begin the practice of pure devotional service without having a proper connection with a pure devotee of Krishna. And we, I don't know why in my case, have been given that association. And for some reason, we've taken it a little seriously. And therefore, we've all made some commitment to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So many people here in the Holy Dham are attracted to Krishna, are doing something to try to serve Krishna, but they're doing it in ignorance because they don't have that guidance. And even among the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who know the teachings of Rupa Goswami, theoretically, and they are serving according to authentic sadhana of some sort. Babaji's, they're doing something that's coming through some authentic disciplic succession. They have some understanding of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. But show me anyone, any great acharya, any teacher, even in the Gaudiya line, who has given the special insight, the special guidance and direction, how to serve Krishna in the best way, in the most effective way, in the way that actually pleases and actually brings perfection of life quickly. Show me anyone, even among the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who has given such perfect direction as Srila Prabhupada. It's a matter of degrees, of relativity. Yes, they're engaged in Krishna's service because they're following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I will challenge that outside of ISKCON, no one is better engaged in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service than any devotee who's actually serving the mission of ISKCON, of Srila Prabhupada. It makes a difference. The borders of ISKCON have become porous, meaning that devotees easily leave, and then they try to come back again after leaving as if nothing happened. And therefore we sometimes have to, just for practical purposes, be liberal about it and understand they're still Vaishnavas, but it makes a big difference to be inside rather than outside of ISKCON, to be actually directly serving Prabhupada's mission. Because of who Prabhupada is, because of the special empowerment that his guru gave him, that Krishna is giving through the disciplic succession. How inconceivably fortunate we are to have been given his mercy. If we understand Krishna consciousness to any extent, if we are practicing Krishna consciousness at all, it's only because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And the uniquely focused guidance that he's giving us. It's like trying to become actually engaged in Krishna's service, trying to actually revive your relationship with the Supreme Lord, especially the Supreme Lord in his most intimate aspect. It's like trying to shoot a rocket to the moon. It requires very careful calculation, precision, aiming. You have to aim exactly at the moon, which is so many, they think it's 150,000 miles away. It's actually a lot further away. If you want to hit your rocket to actually land on the moon, you have to aim properly, exactly. Otherwise, your vehicle will go off to one side and never land on this little moon. It will just be wandering in outer space. Like that is the challenge in this age, in the modern times, when everything is so misdirected, to try to actually make proper contact with the Supreme Absolute Truth is so iffy, so it requires such precise aiming to understand things exactly right and to do things exactly right. In previous ages, there was more scope for aiming off in various directions and eventually correcting your path and reaching your goal. In other words, step by step, gradual advancement through different phases was feasible in other ages. One could practice karma and become purified by doing Vedic rituals and then develop some spiritual knowledge and then get some guidance to become a jnani from the Upanishads and the teachers of the Upanishads, or become a yogi. And over the course of many lifetimes, could gradually become elevated to Krishna consciousness. But in Kali Yuga, these intermediate processes aren't functional anymore. They don't work. E Kali Kale Nahi Kon Dharma Vaishnava Vaishnava Shastra E Kohe Marama. In this Kali Yuga, this is the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this Kali Yuga, there is no Dharma. All the Dharmic paths of yoga, of jnana, of karma, they don't work in Kali Yuga. They're not effective. Theoretically, they're there, but people are so degraded and understanding is so corrupted, or they're just missing. People are in such ignorance that they can't follow these processes. All we have
to establish our spiritual life on in the modern age is the association of Vaishnavas and what the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam teach us. But what do we know of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? Unless someone like Srila Prabhupada is explaining it to us. So many people are reading Bhagavad Gita, including Westerners. It's a popular book, and almost everybody is misunderstanding it. And in India, many people read the Bhagavatam. They go to Bhagavat Saptahas, or less formal programs for hearing the Bhagavatam. It doesn't substantially change their lives, because they're not hearing it explained by the pure devotee. So basically it all depends on getting the association of a potent pure devotee. We have the books, but we can't understand the books without the mercy and the guidance of the pure devotee. Vaishnava, Vaishnava Shastra, Ekohi Marma. That's all we have to depend on in Kali Yuga. So Prahlad is praying, I was born as a demon. And thinking very humbly, it's not true, but he's thinking that he has fallen into the pit of illusion, covered by envy, lust, and greed. He's thinking about that about himself. And your servant Narada has delivered me. He's picked me up out of this dark well of ignorance. How could I ever give up his service? Even if there is great difficulty in trying to serve Prabhupada's mission, even if the door out of ISKCON looks tempting, that life will be easier outside, even if becoming lax in one's dedication and more selfish in one's orientation seems to be the easy way out. Let me just pursue my material needs, take care of myself. Even brahmacharis are sometimes in that mood. It's not just a matter of getting married. Even without getting married, someone can become selfish. It requires becoming selfless to actually serve the mission. What's the mission? Save the world. What is Prabhupada's interest? What does he basically want to do? He's formulated certain programs that are of very great importance. There are many things you could do in the service of Krishna, but Prabhupada picked a few of them as important in his opinion. Distributing books, not just any books, but Bhagavatam, Gita, those books. Distributing prasadam, establishing centers of Krishna consciousness and building temples for that purpose. Basically these three things. Those are the three activities that Prabhupada, among the many thousands of things one could do in Krishna's service, these are the three that Prabhupada considered essential. It's a preaching mission. Preaching is a Christian word. It may have bad connotations. People don't like to be preached to. They go on Sunday to the church and tolerate being preached to for 1 hour by the minister. It's just a thing they have to do to be considered good citizens. But basically, people don't like to be preached to. But Prabhupada used the word. What we're doing is preaching. Forget about the bad connotations. Our preaching is transcendental. Our preaching is education and giving enlightenment. This is Prabhupada's mission, to enlighten the world, not just by turning on a light switch, or God says, let there be light. You know, not just that. We mean light in the heart. Tesham evam anukamparatam. Aham agyana jam tamaha. Nashayami atma bhava sto gana deepena basvata. This is real service to Krishna.
This is what Prabhupada is promoting, this variety of practice of Krishna consciousness. Serve Krishna in such a way that he will bless you, or the guru will bless you with Krishna's mercy, so that that transcendental light is turned on in your heart. And then do that to other people. You get the mercy, then you give the mercy to others. If you get it, mercy is like a hot potato. Yeah. You have it in your hands. What are you going to do with it? You have to give it to somebody else. It doesn't become fruitful. Just like you get a program, but you have to get online and activate it. So you're given the mercy, but it doesn't become fully activated until you give it to somebody else. By giving class, or by going out and selling books, or by talking to somebody, or just by setting a good example in your life that people see and are attracted to. That is all the activity of enlightenment, giving, sharing that enlightenment. And that is Prabhupada's mission. I'm talking like this, it sounds theoretical and not much about Prabhupada as a person, but this is what Prabhupada, as the Acharya, was about promoting this preaching mission. He was with us he was on this planet for over 80 years, but he was with us since 1966 to 1977. That's all. 65 to 70, well, 12 years, less than 13 years. He was with us, training us up, teaching us. And Prabhupada, in his intimate association with Krishna, that's his private business. Even his association with his own spiritual master, he didn't talk much about. That's his private business. But the Prabhupada that we should be concerned with is the Prabhupada who came and taught us and made us into devotees and set us on the right path and gave us an opportunity to share in his mission. So that Prabhupada, he's all about enlightening the world, giving Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness, perfect Krishna consciousness, the best kind of Krishna consciousness to everybody. So our purpose in life should be to do that. Prabhupada wants us to participate in his mission, we should do it. And do it fully, to the best of our capacity. Become as fully engaged as we can in Prabhupada's preaching mission. We, as each one of us, has his own limitations or conditions in this life, external conditions, internal conditions, mental conditions, conditions of obligations to family, to parents, to wife, to children, occupation that one has to do, education that one has to get. Obligations are there, and one has to live with them, work around them. But and then one has individual limitations. We only have so much intelligence. We only have so much power of tolerating distress. Each one of us has only a certain amount of ability to practice austerity, or to understand philosophy, or to work hard. We have our limitations. But within our unavoidable individual limitations, we should try to dedicate ourselves as fully as possible to Prabhupada's mission. Okay, we decide that's what we want to do. Now, how do you do it? I want to preach for Prabhupada. It's not easy to do that. Just wanting to do it is the first step. But getting the opportunities, getting the empowerment to actually do it, to actually deliver that's transcendental knowledge to others, and actually engage them in Krishna's service and uplift them, we experience is not at all easy. There seems to be some obstacle. We're trying, we want to do this, we want to serve the mission, we're trying very hard to serve the mission,
and still it doesn't come easy. Or it doesn't seem to be coming at all. What's the obstacle? The obstacle, the way I understand it, and maybe it's just my obsession, is that we're not fully selfless in our purpose. If we're still thinking about, focusing our attention on, taking care of ourselves, then that's selfish to the extent that we're just thinking about our own needs and problems. When we put that aside, no matter, I am having problems, I've got troubles in my life, I've got limitations that make things difficult for me, but I just put that aside and try to do everything I can to satisfy Prabhupada by helping others to become Krishna conscious. That's selflessness. And the one thing we need to do, if we want to be fully engaged in this mission, that's what we have to do. We have to go from the end of the scale of selfishness to the end of the scale of selflessness on the opposite end. We have to try to become completely selfless in our dedication. Tolerate trouble and do something to serve Prabhupada's mission. Certainly Prabhupada himself, I'm sorry, practiced his Krishna consciousness in that mood. I'm not talking about his inner life. That we don't know about. But we can see what he did on the outside and how much trouble he took, how he struggled. He said, he put it in the words that he was crying in the wilderness. You know, you're out in the woods, in the jungle, and you're in a dangerous situation. Maybe you have appendicitis in the middle of the forest. And you can cry for help, but there's nobody there. And that simple problem of appendicitis can kill you because there's no medical care available in the middle of the forest. Crying in the wilderness. No one is helping. Nobody's there to help. That was the situation in which Prabhupada struggled. Krishna gives different difficulties to different devotees to train them up and elevate them and glorify them. Prabhupada's difficulty was that he was all by himself with no help. And he was told by his spiritual master to preach Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking world especially, and fulfill the intention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How could he do that all by himself? English was not his first language. He was very good at English for an Indian, but it wasn't his first language. It was a language he had learned in school. Also Sanskrit was something he studied in school for a few years. So it was, how could Prabhupada establish, how could he carry out his responsibility, what his guru told him to do, all by himself? It seemed impossible. Basically, it is impossible. How can you deliver the world without help? And Prabhupada didn't, for many years, didn't get that help. He had no disciples. Even after taking sannyas, he tried to take a few disciples, but they weren't serious. Nobody who was serious. He didn't take a few disciples. Gave an initiation, but nobody who would actually help in a serious way. So he stayed in India. He took sannyas in 1959. He remained in India until 1965. Those several years, he was trying with all his effort to preach. Published Back to Godhead magazine, wrote the first three volumes, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam with his purports. And in the purports of the first canto, everything required is there. Prabhupada doubted how long he would be able to live and whether or not he'd be able to finish the Bhagavatam. So he put everything, all the knowledge that is required,
in the purports to the first canto. And he finished that first canto all by himself. He didn't have an editor. He went to Delhi to get it published, dealt directly with the printer, stockpiled the books himself, and went out in the street and sold them himself with practically no real help at all. Some gave him encouragement, but nobody really helped in any substantial way. All by himself for so many years. This is after he took sannyas. What to speak of the struggles when he was still a grihastha? This was the test in the sense of for his glorification. Prabhupada didn't need to be tested, you know, that he could fail the test. No question of failing. But Krishna wanted to glorify Prabhupada and make him intensely eager to carry out the mission. So no help. This is the main problem. He had the capacity within himself to speak and to engage so many living entities in Krishna's service. But who was listening? Who was following? Nobody. He had to leave India to find someone who would listen and who would help. What's the use of a guru without disciples? A father without a son? Prabhupada could not function as guru, although he was empowered to be Jagat Guru, spiritual master of the whole world, until someone was ready to become a real disciple. A real disciple, one who follows, who hears properly and actually carries out the orders. So Prabhupada didn't find any such person in India. It was obvious he had to leave India and go somewhere else. He thought first maybe to go to England. But his godbrothers had already gone there. And he didn't have a way to get there anyway. And when he found an opportunity to get a free ride on a boat, the boat was going to New York. So he ended up going to New York instead of London. To find someone who would listen and help. Some young bodies and minds that could enthusiastically engage in this mission. And he found, after a year of not making any disciples, not attracting any serious followers, finally Krishna gave him everything after so many years of testing him, and Prabhupada was able to collect a few disciples with which to found the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Not just make some disciples and save a few people, but save a few people and then engage them in saving the whole world. He made a few dozen disciples, and the first ones of them went away anyway. Prabhupada gave the first initiation to 10 people. Not one of them survived, the first 10. I think, no, Mukunda Maharaj was in the first group or the second? Okay, he was the only one, right? Out of the... They were both in the first, very first initiation? Okay. 2 out of 10 or 11 survived and prospered in Krishna consciousness. But he gradually collected a few handfuls of serious disciples and immediately sent them out around the world. Sent them back to London and to Montreal and to Paris and different places and cities all over the United States, immediately engaged them after a few months of training, sent them out to save the world. This is the radical mood of Srila Prabhupada. It might be more prudent to become a pure devotee first before you dare to preach. But Prabhupada didn't see the luxury of waiting such time. He took his disciples and engaged them almost immediately in vigorous preaching around the world. That was the beginning of ISKCON. It was all masterminded, and all the enthusiasm and the power came from Prabhupada. He shared this enthusiasm and this insight, this realization of the importance with his disciples, but it was all coming from him. So, and in ISKCON is now in a different generation. It's in a different phase of its development. Those who were GBCs in the early years can tell us what it was like, what a GBC meeting was like. It was like, a battle in the First World War. Just, it was pretty much in the mode of ignorance, fighting, quarrels. Because, beginning with, not all of them, but some of them were very heavily conditioned. And so they could hardly cooperate. So ISKCON began pretty much covered by ignorance and graduated over the years to the mode of passion with all of its expansion and hundreds of centers around the world and so many properties, so many hundreds of millions of 100 millions of books, at least 100 million books. Half a what? Half a billion books altogether? Okay, lots of books. This is influence of the mode of passion. ISKCON necessarily went through that phase. That phase was very important. But also that is passing. And now it's the time for ISKCON to develop mode of goodness. Because that's the mode in which Krishna consciousness actually prospers. The seeds were planted and scattered all over the world by the lower modes. And now we have to cultivate a higher mode to make Krishna consciousness reputable and attractive to serious people. This is all Prabhupada's mission. It's just different phases. Some of the phases went on during his life, and it's continuing after his disappearance. Prabhupada has been absent from this world now for 30 years. Right? 30? But his influence has not diminished. Going through different phases of development, ISKCON is very much still being directed by Prabhupada through its different phases of development. Because Srila Prabhupada is a spiritual person. He's able to act even without being present in a physical material body. Of course, he had to come here, just like Krishna had to come here 5,000 years ago and appear in a body that was publicly visible, so that Vyasadeva and others could describe Krishna's pastimes in their books. If God doesn't appear, then people just speculate about what he is. So he does have to, once in a while, make an appearance. But after that, he can leave. And as described by Shukadeva, Vyasadeva, people can learn about these pastimes even after they're finished. And Krishna continues his influence 5,000 years later, unabated. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he did have to come and be with us for those few years. But it's not that he's gone now and there's no influence of him, that he's not continuing to act to direct his mission. His intelligence, living intelligence, is still guiding us. At least those who can cooperate with that intelligence, tune into it and surrender to it. It's very much, Prabhupada's guidance is very much still alive. Despite all the apparent difficulties and failures, Prabhupada is not gone. And those who never saw Prabhupada can still have his association, can still give their lives to fulfilling his mission. And if you do that, it doesn't matter that you never met him or that you met him only for 10 minutes. It doesn't matter that other people were famous as Prabhupada's followers in the past and you're coming much later, a generation or two later. It doesn't matter. All you have to do is dedicate yourself to his mission and then you also become a real follower of Prabhupada and you also have a real relationship with him. It doesn't require his physical presence. Not for such a spiritual personality. What is it, the dedication to the Bhagavatam, first canto?
Oh, something about he continues to live in his instructions. He dedicated the Bhagavatam to his guru, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati. He continues to live in his instructions. And the faithful follower lives along with him. The guru, Prabhupada, is not dead and gone. And we can be fully alive, and we can live with Prabhupada just by giving everything we can, at best we can, to work for his mission.
Okay.
So, I want to give everybody who wants to an opportunity to say something in praise of Srila Prabhupada, some insights you may have. So why don't we now invite whatever devotees want to speak. And then if we're left over with time, if we run out of speakers, we can start reading the Vyas Puja book, which the BBT has now provided email version or PDF file. And we have the copy here. But let's see how much time we have after everybody who has wanted to speak has spoken.